incident at his parents' house. As soon as he feels a loss of control, he snaps, breaking things around him. He's like an overgrown toddler who can't function without his parents' discipline. His knuckles are bleeding as he pushes off the wall, walking to the other side of the room towards the lamp. He swings at it, sending it flying into the wall behind the nightstand, shattering it to pieces and cutting his other hand in the process. Blood drips everywhere. Fearful tears fall down my face. Before I can wonder where Hawk is and if he's heard the commotion coming from the room, he bursts through the door with his shoulder, not even attempting to open it, breathless as he searches for me.
"Cole,"
he says with relief as he sees me standing against the wall. He pulls me into his arms, quickly placing his hands around my cheeks, scanning my face, neck, and body for any marks. Looking around, he sees the hole in the wall, the glass on the floor, the broken lamp. His eyes trail the debris until they land on where Patrick's standing. He charges towards Patrick in three quick steps, grabbing him by the throat and slamming him up against the wall, pinning him there with his strength. "Hawk, no!" I scream, running towards them. He can't hit him. He can't do anything, or Patrick will literally demolish him in the courts. I can see it playing out already. I plead with him as his grasp around his neck tightens, causing Patrick to wheeze for air before slamming his head back against the wall again. "Let him go," I beg him, the terror in my tone present. "Please, don't do this." It's as if my voice is the only thing that can calm him. Hawk glares into Patrick's red face and his lips tighten, curling inward, probably imagining just what it would feel like to kill him right here and now, and how much pleasure he'd get from it, enjoying it to his core. The saddest part about it is, Patrick knows he won't commit to doing anything, just like Hawk knows he can't. He's backed into a wall, the wall being Patrick's prominent and deceitful family. It'd be so easy for them to obliterate him. He finally releases him and Patrick falls forward, bending at the waist to catch his breath while rubbing his neck. Hawk's fists curl into themselves at his sides, his arms shaking, the self-control apparent.
Wait.
Patrick coughs, still bent over, furrowing his brow as he holds up a finger. He's looking down at the floor before his eyes snap up to mine.
"Tell me he isn't the guy."
Hawk stiffens beside me, and all I can think about is how I desperately need him to remain calm. I'm terrified of what Patrick will do if he knows. I can't lose him.
"It is,"
Patrick declares, shocked yet seeming entertained.
"Look at him protecting you from me. You stay the fuck away from her,"
Hawk says through gritted teeth.
"You've got to be kidding me, Nick. You slept with him? I swear to fucking God, I'll kill you if you ever try to touch her again,"
Hawk warns, surprisingly not gaining Patrick's attention.
"You don't see it, do you?"
Patrick asks, looking around Hawk at me. "See what?" I shake my head at him, feeling emotionally exhausted worrying about these two killing each other.
"This was his plan all along,"
he says calmly, staring at Hawk as if finally understanding it all.
"This was how you got back at me, huh?"
He directs the question to Hawk as I peer up at him, seeing his jaw tighten, his eyes almost pleading with Patrick. The energy in the room has shifted. Where Patrick was on the defense initially, he now seems to be controlling the room again.
"You always wanted to destroy me after what happened, and you finally found a way to do it."
He shakes his head, face in disbelief.
"You took away the love of my life."
I swallow at the pain in his tone, my chest suddenly feeling tight by his assumption that this thing between Hawk and I was nothing more than a revenge plot, that none of this was as real as I thought it was. I'm feeling lightheaded and stumble back into the wall again as I look down at the floor.
"Don't you believe him, Cole. Don't you do it,"
Hawk pleads with me. My nervous eyes peer from Hawk to Patrick and back to Hawk.
"That was all this was. He's a twisted, manipulative man. He used you to get back at me,"
Patrick continues. My mouth drops open as I attempt to take all of this in.
It's not your fault, babe. He's toxic. He's been wanting to destroy me ever since believing I was the one who killed Ben.
What? The word barely slips through my lips like a tiny breath of wind.
Let me guess. He didn't tell you. Might as well throw it all out there. Hawk killed his friend. Like Sean said, he was too high to remember. Isn't that right?
The anger and madness in Hawk's face is confusing to me. Surely he's lying. This can't be true. Surely everything Hawk has told me is the truth. Right? He turns to face me again, his panicked eyes begging for me to focus on him and him alone.
Cole, don't lose me now. They were the only two people in that car that night, Nick. Everyone knows it. We've been trying to help him this whole time.
Patrick continues talking as if Hawk isn't even in the room.
And here he is, trying to sabotage us for his own sick revenge. Jealousy always got the better of you, didn't it, Hawk?
This can't be. He couldn't have lied to me, could he? No, it's not possible, is it? I get a sickening feeling in my gut, feeling like I've been hit by a Mack truck. I'm breaking down internally. Hawk, I whisper through tears, looking at him now, wanting to feel the truth from him like I have before.
He's lying, Cole. He's trying to get into your head, turn you against me, get you back the only way he knows how.
Hawk yells, looking desperate and terror-struck.
He's the liar, Nick.
Patrick comments again.
This had nothing to do with you.
I don't even realize it, but I'm backing out of the door. I'm leaving the room, leaving the confusion and cloud of lies that are thickening by the second. I just can't breathe in here. I can't focus with both of their eyes on me. It's too much. It's all too much. 42. Over. I grab my old gym bag by the door, quickly throwing handfuls of clothes into it, not even paying attention to what I'm doing. I throw the keys to the bar into the side pocket, hoping there's something in there I can get away with wearing for my shift tonight.
Nick, get back here and talk to me!
Patrick yells as I leave the bedroom, moving into the kitchen. It's too much. The lies, the deceit, the planting of misinformation in my head. I can't believe the way he tries to contort, twist, and bend the truth to his liking. He's a narcissist, a manipulative, repulsive liar who feeds on controlling the weak. He's doing everything Hawk said he would, his last sick attempt to exercise dominance over me. I just can't take it anymore. I'm beyond over his tricks. Patrick is dead to me.
Cole, please. Everything between us has been real. You know me.
Hawk begs, his voice breaking mid-sentence.
You know the real me.
The idea that Hawk would lie to me about what he's been through is preposterous. A revenge plot? Sure, the idea may have been possible initially, especially after realizing he'd captured my attention the way he so innately did. But to take it this far? To have declarations of love, to expose his pain to me, to show me his scars and where he's covered them with my words? Impossible. He's the one who's suffered here, and he's the one who's had to endure the weight of these lies. Even as he stands here, watching me, anxiously raking his hands through his hair, he's terrified. Terrified to the deepest part of what makes him feel whole around me, knowing he can't lose what keeps him living. He's terrified of losing me, whereas Patrick is simply terrified of losing. Patrick is resorting to his old ways, doing the only thing he can to try to control me like he has been these past few years. But the controlling abuse stops here. The facts are written across my heart, and I've known for a while who to believe, who I can truly trust. Hawk is on my tail, circling around the kitchen table, watching me with an anxiousness about him I can't stand to see. He doesn't need to deal with any more heartache in his life, and he'll never need to worry about that with me. Hawk, you ready? I ask, looking up to face him, throwing my bag over my shoulder. His lips part while he stares with raised eyebrows, as if what I just said hasn't registered. I close the space between us, not giving two shits that Patrick is watching us. I hear Hawk sigh a breath of relief next to me, and it bothers me. It hurts my heart that he worried so much I'd fall into the trap. Cameron, look at me, I demand, grabbing his shirt into my fist and pulling him into me, making sure his eyes lock onto mine. I'll never lose you in the madness. He winces, swallowing down his emotions as he quickly grabs the back of my head, pulling it into his as he rests his forehead against mine. It's almost like our own personal handshake, our forehead hugs. It's intimate, connecting us in our own little world, even if only for a moment.
I love you.
And I love you. After he grabs his stuff from his room, we walk towards the door, hand in hand, leaving the house with Patrick calling out after us.
This is insane, Nick. Just wait till you see what's coming. This isn't over. You're fucked, Hawk.
I halt in my tracks, turning to face him, leaving Hawk stumbling around me in my quick pause. I march back up to where Patrick, standing on the front step with heat in his eyes. We're face to face, and all my insecurities have now left me. I don't see a man I used to love. I see a manipulative liar who cheats his way through life, destroying others in his wake. Now I'm left with nothing but anger and resentment for the person I tried so hard to care for. A person I attempted a future with but could never succeed. Fuck you, you murderous bitch, I grumble, before decking him as hard as I can in the face with my fist. Yes, violence is not always the best choice, but I did what I had to do. Hawk can't hit him. Ben can't hit him. So I did what needed to be done. For them. Hawk runs over immediately, pulling me back behind him by my waist and getting between us, in case Patrick attempts to retaliate.
You're going down a dark path, Nick.
He calls out, cupping his eye where I left a little cut near the cheekbone.
Trust me, you don't want to do this.
Patrick's panicked voice fades as I continue walking towards my car, where Hawk checks my fist before gently rubbing my knuckles. He throws his bag into the back of my car, then his leg over his bike, revving it up next to me. See you back at the spot, I tell him, before flipping off Patrick, who's still standing before the door with his fists clenched. I back out of the driveway, peeling out of there, feeling a lot lighter than I did going in. I feel such a sense of relief. It's freeing. It's over. It's totally and completely over. Hawk followed me back to our temporary residence, the little hideaway motel, sure to watch for Sean or Patrick in case they were following us. We get back into our room again after paying with cash for another night. Hawk presses me up against the door as soon as we enter.
You believed me,
he whispers, running his fingers through a piece of my hair that's fallen between us. Cam, I say softly, running my hand along the side of his face. Of course I did. I know your truth, your pain, your struggles.
But what he said, the revenge, it's not entirely untrue.
He drops his head against the door above me, disheveling his dark hair.
The party, when I brought you there.
I remember it like it was yesterday. He had me pinned to that couch in the little study room at the cabin, where I was already feeling things I thought I shouldn't. I knew he was pushing the limits of our friendship, but truthfully, it excited me. I know you had a plan. We've talked about it. You even admitted you'd never have been able to take it that far. And you know why?
Why?
Because you're good. You're a good person with a pure heart. You're not like them.
I thought for sure he'd pull you away. Get in your head, convince you it's not real, that what we share isn't as irreplaceable as I know it is.
Nothing can break us, Cameron. Nothing. He presses himself to me, hips pinning me against the door, lips finding mine in a mad rush of love and lust. His tongue tries to erase the memories of what happened, erase the idea that he could have lost me.
If I lose you, I lose everything,
he whispers against my lips. We can't ever let that happen, I say, before kissing his top lip and then bottom, gently sucking on his lip ring. He pauses for a moment, letting me play with his lips, before pulling back slightly, his hand still holding him up against the door.
Do you know what I wanted to do to him? I wanted to kill him with my bare hands in front of you, for Ben, for me. How fucked up is that?
It's understandable. It doesn't make you a villain, Cam. It makes you human.
I wanted to tell him nasty things, brag to him about how amazing it feels to fuck you raw, how hearing you scream my name instead of his made me feel phenomenal, how fucking beautiful you are when you come for me, how he's a spineless prick who's never been able to make you come like I can with just one look.
I chew on the corner of my lip, feeling flushed by his words. They make me feel a tingly sensation between my legs, forcing me to rub my thighs together.
I'm fucking vile for having these thoughts,
he admits, shaking his head and touching my jaw, his thumb tracing my lips. You're not, I say, looking deeply into him. You're the kind of guy devils tell angels to go talk to get them to fall. Not knowing, you're the type to save them from the depths of hell they've surrendered themselves to.
Jesus, Cole.
He tightens his jaw. A tick I know that means he felt that in his soul. I pull him into me by the waist again, never getting close enough.
I'm just so happy you're mine. You're finally mine,
he whispers, leaning in closer again. I grip his shirt, pulling him roughly into my chest, loving the feeling of his warm body against mine. His soft, wet kiss sends endorphins shooting throughout my body, my blood pulsing through my veins at a rapid rate. Pulling back from our sweet kiss to take a breath, I whisper, I've always been yours. We rest our heads against one another as his smile lights up the darkest parts of me. We stand there for a moment just speaking without words again, enjoying the peace of just being together. Until reality hits.
He's going to come after me. He'll call my parole officer, probably already has. They'll be looking for me now,
he admits, his eyes filled with a new type of sadness, a worry I don't feel comfortable with. A feeling of ultimate betrayal takes over me. I should never have told him, I say, my voice cracking as my emotions come back. I could have prevented you from being in this situation had I not said I was in love with you. My face falls into my hands as I cry at the thought of him being taken away from me. Especially now. Especially after we've come so far. It truly isn't fair.
You told him you were in love with me?
He asks, wiping the tears off my face with his thumbs. Yeah, I sigh, feeling miserable. I mean, he figured out it was you once we were standing together again, but yeah, I told him.
Baby,
he says empathetically, pulling me into his embrace, his arms comforting me while gently rubbing my back. I can't lose you, Cam. Not now. Not after everything. I cry into him, fisting his shirt in my hands. My phone interrupts us as a message comes through. Sniffling, I grab it from my back pocket, pulling it out between us to open the message.
Patrick, tell your new boyfriend his PO has been called. Police will find you if we don't first.
It's time to get a plan into action. We have to come up with something together. Our twisted fate brought us here, but I can't rely solely on that to save us. Can I? 43. Derailed. Even in the midst of chaos, the propulsive rhythm of the train deep within our beings drives us together with cataclysmic force. Is it human nature to constantly fear losing what you've so recently found? The world around us is crumbling, yet it's hard to decipher where one of us ends and the other begins. Hands on bodies, touching, feeling, melting into one. The intrinsic need to immerse ourselves into one another. The fear of a future being stripped of us has our mouths memorizing the curves of each other's lips, writing endless love letters with our tongues. I find it odd how it can be so silent in the surrounding room, while the loud, thunderous crashing of my heart beats just beneath the surface, the deafening noise filling every part of me, so echoic, concealed by a body so suppressing. The need to translate the feeling reverberating through me into a tangible form is my only mission. "I need you," I moan as he spreads sweet, wet kisses along my neck. "I can't be in any form of existence without you. I won't survive." Our time is precious because we don't know what we have left. I have to head into the bar, and Hawk needs to hit the road. The plan is for me to go to work as normal, potentially drawing Patrick off his tail, while he hides out by riding into the city until he can get a hold of his parole officer to inform her of the situation. He's not happy about it. It literally kills him to think of Patrick being able to find me. I had to force the seriousness of the issues, and the fact that if the cops found him, he wouldn't stand a chance. They'd detain him immediately, without question, more than likely finding something to charge him with, tearing him away from me for an indefinite amount of time. That scenario I cannot handle. He faces me from above, his green eyes littered with specks of aqua, illuminating in the most spectacular way. His dark, thick locks of hair, freshly damp from our shower, hang down over those breathtaking eyes. He looks at me with the kind of look that would make any girl melt into a puddle of love. The one that says, "My survival depends on you." The kind that echoes, "You are the most interesting thing I've ever laid eyes on." His elbows encase me on the bed, our legs intertwined as I gaze up at him. We're hiding in the tiny motel a few towns over, collecting ourselves before we part. With Patrick's resounding message clear as day, we know our clock is ticking. Yet we keep stretching the time, savoring pulling every second until the next catches us. I reach up and touch his lip ring, then run my fingers over his eyebrows and down the side of his face. His eyes close at the sensation and he breathes a sigh of comfort, then opens them again to focus on me.
"You're making me nervous, Cole,"
he whispers softly, his face now holding nothing but angst. Anxiety is written all over my face. I swallow, knowing what he's talking about. I can't help the sick gut feeling I hold deep within me. There's an ending coming, but to which story, I haven't quite discovered.
"Don't memorize me like you won't see me again,"
he says, frowning.
"I know that look. I've made that same face."
Tears rim my eyes again as I turn my head to look away from him, the direct eye contact too much for my heart. I can't bear the thought. He stops me with his lips, ending my useless worrying for things that haven't happened yet. Our kiss quickly intensifies, clothes being stripped from our bodies while our lips stay locked on one another's, needing each other to breathe. He settles himself between my thighs, pushing inside of me slowly, every inch becoming more pleasurable than the last, until we are fully connected again like we were never meant to be apart. Our breathless pants are met with kisses. Our fingers intertwined as he holds my hands at the sides of my head, connecting every possible part of our bodies as if it's never enough. His forehead rests on top of mine, eyes studying mine as he continues the fluid motion, pulling out, then driving himself deeper and deeper to the place I ache to be filled.
"Nothing can take me away from you. Do you understand that?"
His breathy tone echoes his seriousness. I screw my eyes closed as he thrusts into me again, opening them to find his still on mine. I nod, feeling emotional as he closes his eyes, dropping his head to the space between my shoulder and neck.
"Nothing,"
he whispers, lips against the skin beneath my ear. I want to believe him. Desperately, I do. But life doesn't generally work out to be like a fairy tale. Fairy tales were made to be an escape from the unfairness of this world. An escape for the broken, the used. An escape from mortal reality. The reality we keep trying to avoid. We hold each other in the aftermath of our lovemaking, coming down from the high of what our touch can make us forget. "You have to go," I whisper, brushing his hair back off his forehead, feeling the inevitable. His jaw flexes as his brows furrow together.
"I'll ride up towards the city, call my PO on the way, explain everything that's happening."
He hops up off the bed, throwing on a pair of his black jeans. Finding a t-shirt, he quickly throws it over his lengthy torso as the material melts to his muscular figure. Pulling a snapback hat out of his bag, he throws it on backwards over his hair.
"We'll navigate this, Cole. We'll do it. We will,"
he reiterates, giving me a tiny, yet hopeful, grin. I bite the corner of my lip, my heart swelling at the sight of him, still in disbelief that we are here, together, like this. I never thought I could fall for anyone the way I have for him. Sometimes it takes being with the wrong person to show you how truly amazing it can be with the right one. Our love started in the dark. It was planted in the deepest part of the ground, watered with secrets, nourished through infidelities. And yet, somehow, our attachment grew into something real, reaching the edge of the surface until we pierced through the darkness of the dirt that held us, into the light of a new day. The sight of a future we had never anticipated, now recognized, is ever so fragile.
"I've already called to have Kid watch the bar tonight, so if anything happens, he'll be right there to call the guys, all right?"
"Really?" I ask, cocking a brow, impressed with the fact that he's already got his crew of guys watching me, protecting me. "Okay." He approaches my position on the bed where I'm clutching the sheet to my naked body, nodding, attempting to appear confident and strong, rather than as worried as I feel internally.
"Keep your stuff here for now and call me as soon as you're done with your shift. Got it?"
His thumb and forefinger gently pinch the bottom of my chin, tilting my face to his as he waits for my answer. "Yeah, I will." He cups my face, rubbing my bottom lip with his thumb as he tilts his head to the side, licking his lips, clearly anxious to leave.
"I'm just going for a ride. I'll be right back."
He says the words as if he needs to hear them himself to set the course of the unforeseeable future. The rate at which my heart is racing is uncontrolled. It's screaming internally, begging for all of this to finally be over, needing that fairy tale to be our reality. He leans down to kiss me, pressing his lips to mine, when there's a pounding at the door. I gasp, pulling away, my eyes filling with panic as I clutch the sheet higher up on me. Hawk screws his eyes closed tightly, sagging his head. It's clear we've been found. But by who? Helping me find my clothes as I quickly get dressed, the pounding on the door continues.
"Police, open up!
Fuck!"
Hawk curses, tossing his hat to the corner of the room, running his hands through his hair. "What's happening? What do we do?" I question in a panic. The pounding continues as my entire body shakes, the terror inside me radiating out. Our plans are being derailed from the tracks faster than our train can catch wind.
"We open the door?"
He sighs, looking defeated. Hawk approaches the door, waiting to make sure I'm fully dressed before opening it. Immediately, two officers barge into the room, weapons drawn, as Hawk assumes a submissive position with his head down and his hands raised in the air before him.
"Get against the wall,"
the officer yells, pointing at Hawk with his weapon.
"Hands on your head."
He walks to the wall, putting his hands on his head as the officer approaches him, holstering his weapon. The other, chubbier officer standing watch over me directs his weapon towards Hawk, asking me if there are any weapons or illegal substances in the room as my eyes dart wildly back and forth between them.
No. No weapons, no drugs.
Hawk answers, turning his head slightly.
He didn't ask you.
The officer hits him in the back of the head, causing me to become irate, standing up off the bed. Let him go! He didn't even do anything!
Sit down!
The other officer yells, redirecting his weapon towards me, forcing me to sit again.
Cole, baby, please stay calm.
Hawk instructs with a soft voice, his forehead against the wall. I swallow down my tears, watching the officer peel each hand off his head, slapping the cuffs on him, placing his hands behind him.
Got a call that there was a disturbance. Gotta take you in. You know the rules.
Hawk sighs, banging his forehead against the wood-paneled wall, making an old painting of a sunny day in a flowery field fall to the ground abruptly. Fitting. There's been a mistake. He didn't do anything. He was with me. I begin calmly explaining to the officer near me, hoping in some strange world he'll listen and understand and make this right.
Sorry, lady. Your boy is to be detained until we can contact his parole officer.
Cole, call Kid and tell him to call Julie for me.
Hawk instructs as they guide him out to the police car. Kid, call Julie. I make a mental note, tripping over my own feet as I follow them, trying to breathe through the panic attack I'm currently facing. Tears escape me as I watch them put him in the back of the car, the officer roughly ducking his head, messing up that same hair I was feeling against my neck in a calmer moment just minutes ago. I can't bear to watch this anymore. Racing back into the room, I grab Hawk's phone off the table in the corner, finding Kid's number with shaky fingers and calling it immediately. I wait as it rings and rings. The wait, a slow and painful torture in and of itself.
What up, bro?
He answers nonchalantly. Kid, it's Cole, I spit out breathlessly. Call Julie. Cam's in trouble. 44. Timing is everything. I've experienced moments that seem to happen in slow motion, as if time actually slowed down, stretched, so you can process the significance of what's about to transpire. That a whole system of events could be ready to unveil itself, pieces lining up in such a way, showing you that truly nothing is in your control. It was like a movie scene, one that dragged along to show the impact of what was to come. Time slowed for me when I walked into 9-to-5 Slide tonight. As I was running up to the door to let Andrew, our day shift worker, off for the evening, I was met with a familiar face at the entrance. Walking past, I couldn't help but to take in the man who was leaving at the same time. His presence sent an icy chill over me like a blanket of discomfort. I'd seen him here before. I remember him, specifically because he was dressed like he didn't fit in with the typical crowd at the bar. Pretty sure I called him Suit Man. I also remembered him because he was the dick that physically grabbed me and hit on me while I was working that night. I awkwardly sneak under his arm, looking back as his eyes catch mine, replaying the memory in my mind. The button-up dress shirt, 5 o'clock shadow, and the peculiar look on his face. Feeling a tad uneasy at the sight of him, I try my best to brush it off, seeing as he's clearly leaving the bar. I have enough anxiety as it is with current events. I talk to our new day shift worker, Andrew, for a few minutes, chatting about nothing in particular until I eventually take over and start the night shift for John. I can't help but worry about everything and everyone around me at the moment. So much is happening. I anxiously check my phone for a message back from Kid. He told me after he called and left message after message for Julie, his parole officer, that we just need to wait it out. I told him that wasn't enough and to keep calling. More than likely, Hawk would be charged with something, possibly battery. Who knows what they'd make up after Patrick's call? His ridiculous ass couldn't even take a hit from a woman and own up to it. I'd rather I got charged with the crime and take this burden from Cameron, the innocent man of the century. It's alarming how easy it was for them to assume he'd caused trouble again. The poor guy had been a scapegoat for their family before, but to add to it because of me was preposterous. The thought of Hawk in a cell right now, contemplating in his head if he'll be released, makes my blood boil. I need to find a way to get him out. It's time I save him for saving me from a lifetime of my own imprisonment. I text Kid to try Julie again, wondering if he'd be coming in soon to watch over me. I hadn't seen him or his normal crew of guys here yet. Just me, a few regulars, and old Leonard holding down the fort at the moment. Luckily, it's filled with familiar faces. Leonard is planted at the bar, reading Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. A far cry from the classic literature he's been reading, but such is life. Sometimes you need to dive into the crazy. I text John, asking how everything is going with him and Anna and the baby, when the bar receives a call. 9 to 5 slide, this is Cole. How can I help you? I answer.
Cole, that's a new one. Here I thought Nick filled in for me.
John chuckles. I'm immediately relieved to hear his cheery voice and uplifting energy. New nickname, kind of stuck. I grin into the receiver, stacking some clean glasses while we talk.
I like it. But hey, Cole,
he starts, using the new nickname like he's been using it for years.
I just wanted to call and let you know everything is fine with Anna and the baby.
I let out a huge sigh of relief.
Turns out she was having some Braxton Hicks contractions. Everything is good. Just starting to actively move along.
Oh, God, I'm so happy to hear that. I was nervous.
Trust me, I was too, but everything is great. She's resting at home now, more comfortable, eating some of my homemade chicken noodle soup.
My lips pull into a grin at the thought. He's going to be a great dad. He's already such an amazing boyfriend, so kind and always caring.
I can come in, finish the night if you'd like.
God, no. I stop him immediately. You stay home with her and relax. I've got everything covered. As soon as I say it, I hear the door open and see Patrick walking in. My heart stops, as if someone placed a ton of bricks on my chest. The inability to breathe hits me.
Cole, girl, you're the best.
John continues, talking in my ear.
Hey, did you ever break up with that guy? Patrick, I think his name was. The one with the family who practically owns the town. I was worried about you and never found out what happened between you two.
I mutter as Patrick approaches the bar, the look in his eyes confident and intimidating as he takes a seat.
Are you all right? Like, are you safe? Can you at least tell me that?
John asks, seeming worried by my inability to answer. I can't say anything because the man in question is literally standing there, staring at me with blank eyes. Eyes that scream authority and entitlement. Eyes that tell me any sliver of kindness he may have had within him is gone, destroyed by the infidelities I've burnt him with. I sigh into the phone, clearly making John even more worried.
Cole, say something. You're making me nervous.
John continues on the other end.
Just promise me you'll tell me if there's something wrong.
Okay, yeah, I say quickly, sounding as calm as possible. John hangs up after I've unconvincingly reassured him I'm fine and he should go back to helping Anna. Hanging up the receiver, I realize just how ridiculous this is. I turn and walk up to where Patrick is sitting on the other side of the counter. What can I get for you? I ask with sarcasm. I'm not about to wither away beneath his scare tactics. He tilts his head and smiles eerily.
Well, now that the problem is out of the way, I think it's best if you came back home.
My eyes narrow at him, my sweaty palms gripping the edge of the bar at the way he just called Hawk the problem. It's never been more clear what the intention was when the police came to find us. I should have never hit Patrick and given him the opportunity to use that against Hawk. He's the real problem. No, never gonna happen, I reply dryly, turning to put some dirty glasses into the sink.
Nick, come on.
I get it,
he says in a calmer tone.
You had a moment, got caught up in his ways. He's very manipulative. Finding someone soft like you, it was easy for him to mold you and use you to get back at me.
I laugh. I actually laugh, a hearty belly laugh, causing Leonard to peek over at us from his book.
But you can't seriously believe the lies he spews. I mean, look at the guy and look at you. What would a guy like Hawk actually want with a girl like you? You need to come back to what's safe. Come home.
You're insane, Patrick. Clinically insane. You seriously think after everything I've seen, everything I've heard, and with how you've treated me, that I'd honestly ever take you back? He just sits there, not knowing what to do. Not knowing what to say because there is nothing he can say. He has no control over me anymore. You need to leave, I say definitively, placing both hands on the counter and nodding towards the door.
I'm not leaving.
Leave.
Nick, enough of this shit,
he says through gritted teeth, standing up as he slams his fists against the bar's surface. Leonard drops his book, turning his body to face us, watching the interaction curiously. I stand behind the bar, watching as he slowly comes undone by not getting his way. My mind races with ideas. You know what's funny? I ask, leaning against the edge with an easy smile. I was with you for years. Years. And I didn't know what an orgasm was until I met Hawk. His face drops. It's clear he can't breathe with the truths I've released into his air. Like, I legitimately had no idea what it was. Never had enough time to have the chance to find out with you. 2 minutes is a long time when you're holding a plank, not when having sex with your significant other. His mouth drops open as he stares at me, so I continue whispering. In fact, it wasn't until Hawk fucked me in his bed, on the couch, on the kitchen table, all over that damn house while you were out of town on business, did I finally realize how phenomenal sex can be. The conversation is creating a fire inside of him. I feel it building as his nostrils flare and his chest rises and falls more dramatically. I lean forward, closer to his ear. He fucked me so good, I even let him come in me. I whisper in his ear before leaning back with an angelic grin. That's the breaking point for him. He loses control, kicking the stool. He causes it to topple over behind him, creating a scene as the other patrons turn to face us. He grabs my t-shirt near the neck, pulling me across the bar towards him. I'm not even fighting it. Even if he hits me here in front of everyone, I'll gladly take it for Hawk. His fist curls into itself as he holds it up behind him, acting as if he wants to punch the shit out of me.
You evil bitch!
He grimaces between clenched teeth. Leonard barges over out of nowhere, gripping him by the chest, pulling him off me.
Out!
With a firm grip on his sweater, he says the word with such authority that it startles me. Patrick tries to brush him off, to no avail.
You should have left this alone. Digging up old graves isn't going to be good for you,
he warns as Leonard throws him out of the door. He dusts his hands off, closing it behind him, walking back over to me at my position behind the bar.
You need to be more careful. He could have really hurt you,
he says in a protective tone. I feel a tad foolish for driving him to the point of potentially hitting me just to prove a point. I know. I sigh, blinking profusely, trying to think straight. My hands are still shaking and my heart is racing from the exchange. He really could have hit me.
They weren't kidding about him.
Leonard scoffs, nodding towards the door. Wait, I'm confused. Who told Leonard about Patrick? They?
You didn't really believe they'd let you be here alone, did you?
He continues with a half grin, pulling at the lips hidden beneath his overgrown beard. What? I ask breathlessly. So you know Hawk and Kid? I know they frequent the same bar, but I've never seen them interact. It leaves me to wonder how much Leonard actually knows about this place and the people around here.
I'm a big city dog living small town life. I hear things, see things. He's a good boy who struggled with things out of his control. But oaks grow strong in contrary winds,
he says with a hint of hope in his eyes. His statement gives me pause. Even in small towns where the rich and entitled attempt to rule, you find genuine souls. Ones with hearts so real they grow through the cracks, watching, waiting, ready to stand up for what's right. Stand up for the ones who need it, deserve it. That's the good side of people knowing everything about you in these sheltered towns. The only side that counts. That they do, I whisper in response, loving that Leonard has a seemingly deep-rooted respect for Hawk. He finds his seat again, sipping on his whiskey neat while turning back to his page in fear and loathing, as if the moment never happened. Sudden panic hits me again as I check my phone to see if Kid has gotten anywhere with Julie. Sure enough, there's a message from him.
Kid, Julie's at the station. I'm not sure what that means, but she's there now. I'm heading over in case they release him. I'll get at you when I hear more.
Damn it. I need answers. I continue on with the night, working the next few hours in total limbo, seeing some of Huck's guys filtering in and out at different times, making my heart warm with a sense of security. The bar finally begins fizzling out. People are leaving, and it's about time to wrap up for the evening. Leonard walks me out, waiting for me while I shut down the register and go to close up.
Take care of yourself, young lady. And if you got any sense, you'll leave this shithole town on the next train out.
There's a hidden seriousness in his joke, one that tells me with confidence, there's nothing left for us here. The place is all but dried up with the secrets and lies blowing like sand in a barren desert. Not a sustainable environment for a newly growing love. Leonard leaves beside me in his black Bronco as I start up my car to head back to the motel, with the plan to call Kid on the way. I sit there for a moment, trying to remember if I locked the front door. I was so focused on my conversation with Leonard that I can't remember for the life of me if I locked it or not. I was working on autopilot, not even thinking while I closed up. I look around me, seeing an empty lot, void of anyone. Running to the door with my keys in hand, I give it a quick pull to ensure I'm not crazy. Seeing it's locked, I breathe a quick sigh, feeling stupid for not paying attention, and turn to race back to my vehicle. I reach to open my door when the front of my chest gets pushed up against my car by a firm body holding me to it. I gasp, dropping my keys to the ground at the forceful shove. Timing is everything. 45. Saving. I can see the fog from my breath making a small circle on my car window. I watch it expand and contract, growing and minimizing before me, keeping my attention on something so small and meaningless is the only thing keeping me from entering full-blown panic mode. So I watch it, study it, calm myself as I feel my hair being held tightly, my face sealed to the glass before me. I can feel his presence behind me as his body presses against the back of mine. It's unfamiliar. It's cold and hard.
You stay still.
He warns in a deep, raspy tone with his hot breath against my neck.
And do what I say. Got it.
There's literally no one here to help me. Leonard is gone. Kid is at the station. Hawk is locked up. John's at home and Patrick's... Well, who knows? I've never needed saving more. It's just me and the out-of-place suit man from the bar, outside against my car that's parked next to the building. He waited. He came back, waited and watched until I was alone for his moment to strike. What do you want from me? I stutter out the words, trying to remain calm as tears tease the edge of my eyelids. He lifts my head back away from the car by my hair, turning only my neck to face him.
I want to remind you that no one says no to me. Not even white trash bar whores like you.
He seethes before slamming my head back against the glass, my cheekbone burning from the pain. Please, please, don't! I cry out.
Take off your belt.
He says in a deep tone, the words instantly making me sick to my stomach. No, please.
Take off your fucking belt.
He demands again, tightening his grip on my hair. I fumble with the front of my pants, removing my belt while racking my brain for an idea, a plan to get out of this. What are the chances, after everything I'd been through, that something like this would happen? I'd always believed in fate, hoped it would ultimately save me in the same way that it brought love into my life. But this? This is just gruesome. I try not to drown myself in self-pity, but Jesus, what more can I take? I'm holding the belt in my hand when he rips it from my grasp, tossing it towards the wall of the bar away from me. I hear the sound of his pants coming undone, the belt opening up as he tugs at the material near my hips. No! I cry out in a hoarse whisper. Please don't do this! I feel so helpless, so out of control over this horrible situation happening to me. I want to scream! I want to cry. I want to curl up and away from this person trying to hurt me in unimaginable ways. He appears to be struggling with my pants, so he releases my hair to use both hands. I take the opportunity to turn around, sending a quick knee to his groin. Falling forward a bit while grunting, I make a run for it. I scream for help as I race through the parking lot, but don't get far before he's on my tail. He dives, grabbing for my leg, causing me to fall and hit the pavement, my elbows skinned from the rough landing. He pulls my leg back and I continue trying to crawl away, clawing at the asphalt beneath me, kicking my legs to release his hold, but he's just too strong. He overpowers me, climbing up my frame, turning me over while straddling me before sending a violent slap across my face with the back of his hand. With both my hands in a fist above my head, I swing them forward, landing a hard punch to his gut. He gasps and falls forward, but grabs my wrists, rolling to the side of me. We wrestle around for a minute as I attempt to free myself from his grasp before he wraps an elbow around my neck. He gets up with a firm hold on me now and begins dragging my flailing body back towards the car, my heels dragging beneath me. I scream for help again as he pushes me back into position against the car door. Before I get the chance to scream again, I hear the click of a gun at the back of my head. I second a breath, unable to breathe, fearful to move, my eyes screwing shut.
Pull your fucking pants down.
He growls at me, pressing the gun roughly against my neck. Okay, okay, I blurt, my hands in the air before me, shaking as I try to abide. I pull them down my thighs, leaving myself exposed in only my underwear. I swallow down the pain of the moment, attempting to place myself somewhere else. Anywhere else, mentally, as my tears drown my face, removing myself from the situation about to happen. A happy memory comes to mind. Sitting on Cameron's lap as he wraps his arms around me in the car. We're watching the sunrise as he gently rubs our hands together, weaving our fingers, then slowly pulling them apart before repeating the soft motion again. He kisses my neck and whispers into my ear the magnitude of how much he loves me.
That's right. You start listening and it'll be a lot easier.
The hoarse voice pulls me out of my memory, bringing me back into my terrifying reality.
Girls like you shouldn't be working the bars alone late at night. Things can happen.
He grabs for my underwear near my hips, pulling the thin straps down until they sit down around my thighs. I'm bare before him now and know it's over. I can't control what is about to happen to me. I'm about to be raped. The gravity of it all comes down on me as my mouth drops open to breathe, the tears drowning my face. I'm sobbing as he bends me forward again. I feel him rubbing himself against my backside, making me want to vomit. I instinctively put my hand back to push him away. Please stop. I'll do anything else. Just don't. I don't know what I'm offering. I just need to try something. Anything. I feel him grumble something under his breath behind me, gripping my hand and twisting it painfully behind my back, using it as an anchor to hold me still. I place myself back in that car, being held by Hawk. He brings his hands to my face, holding me before him. He grins, looking deep within me with those ocean eyes, encased by those long black lashes, searching deep within me for the home we found in each other. The man gasps before I feel his body leave mine with a sound I'll never forget, like a rock hitting a wall. But there's no rock, no wall. I seal myself to my car, flinching as the man behind me falls to the ground. Quickly pulling my pants up, I bend down to grab the keys I dropped. I get in the car, locking the door immediately. With trembling hands, I put the keys into the ignition, my chest heaving before starting it up. The headlights on my car turn on, illuminating the scene before me. I witness a scuffle playing out between two guys in the gravel next to the old brick exterior of the bar. The man who was behind me, now on his hands and knees. Getting his feet beneath him, he dives for the other person. A struggle ensues, fists being thrown back and forth, rolling around on the ground until one of them ends up on top. I put the car in reverse, turning my head to back out when I peer towards them again, remembering the guy had a gun, and whoever is attempting to save me could be killed. In the shadows between the light, I see him, the sight stopping my heart. It's Hawk. It's Hawk above the man. Hawk pummeling his fists, beating into him again and again, only the guy isn't fighting back. It's Hawk on the verge of killing him. How is he here? I put the car into park, opening my door, racing towards them. Hawk! Stop! I yell, seeing the destruction that's about to take place. As much as I couldn't care less about this man who tried to hurt me, I can't see Hawk fall into ruin again because of me. I'm also painfully aware of the fact that this man had a weapon. There's no way I can leave him. Hawk! I yell again. I see the gun sitting on the ground near where my car is parked and kick it across the lot, far out of reach. I run up behind him, watching with wide, worried eyes as he continues to mercilessly obliterate this man. He's like an animal. There's no stopping him. He's lost it. He's out of control, and before he knows it, he's going to kill the guy. The muscles of his back flex while he continues his vigorous assault, even though the man is clearly knocked out cold. Cameron! I scream in desperation. He pauses, with his fist raised in the air, about to strike another blow. His chest is heaving as he slowly backs off the man who's not even moving. His body is now limp, void of consciousness. Hawk falls back against the brick wall of the bar, his head tilted back, his eyes barely open as his mouth hangs apart slightly, catching his breath. Cameron, oh God, are you all right? I ask desperately, crouching down next to him. There's blood all over him. I scan his head and face, which appear fine. No cuts or bleeding of his own. He's holding his side and groaning, his face twisted in pain. He doesn't seem to be able to breathe.
Cole.
He groans, reaching out for me.
Oh, shit. My ribs.
I lift his shirt, checking his torso, not seeing anything visible, but assuming in the struggle he took a hit to the side, possibly breaking a rib. We need to get you out of here. I place his arm around my shoulder, lifting his heavy body as the shock of the situation helps me to continue moving. I get him to the passenger side door with his assistance when he shakes his head to stop me.
My bike.
He hisses in pain, pointing behind the bar. I was so mentally not present that I never even heard him pull up.
Jesus, Cole.
He says through his pain, finally catching his breath, holding my face between his hands, his motorcycle gloves still on.
Baby, tell me you're all right.
His broken voice is killing me. The sickening feeling of seeing me in that situation must have destroyed him. He's so angry, yet so soft with me. I nod in his hands, never more thankful for his timing. But this wasn't random. This entire moment feels planned. There was nothing left to chance. This was set up to break me.
I wouldn't have stopped.
He says through pants, leaning an arm against my car, his worried eyes killing a piece of my heart.
I wouldn't have stopped if I hadn't heard you.
How did you even get here? What happened? I cry, relief finally taking over me. I thought I was alone. He tried to... I break down into tears as he brings me against his chest.
I know, but it didn't. He didn't.
He says breathlessly, his arms tightening around me.
I'd die before I let anything happen to you.
Cameron, I whisper, clawing at the shirt on his chest as he holds me. I could break down now. I could fall apart at the what ifs. But we don't have time for what ifs. I push him out at arm's length, looking up at him. You gotta get out of here, I rush. Now! He nods, looking back towards the unconscious man. Walking backwards towards his bike, he calls out.
Where? Where do we go?
My mind is racing with what to do. It seems one step forward is 10 steps back in the world of Cam and Cole. We can't go back to the motel. We can't go on the run because Hawk's being watched closer than ever. It's clear to me he needs to go back to Kid. He picked him up and now needs to act like this never happened and he was never here. I, on the other hand, have to go back to the place I never wanted to return. He starts up his bike, looking at me anxiously as his mind is working overtime. I look back up into his eyes as I make my way around the car and into the driver's seat. Go back to Kids, I call out confidently, gripping my steering wheel as a deep fighting instinct compels me to calm my nerves. It's now or never. I have the power to change this. I have the power to make things right. I swallow down any uncertainty as a wave of bold fearlessness takes hold. I have something I need to do. 46. Poetic Justice. With unsteady hands still shaking from the unthinkable events that just transpired, I pull my keys out of the ignition and sit back in the seat of my car, staring at the house before me. Hawk went to Kids like I instructed. Not without a fight, of course. He practically got on his hands and knees, begging me to go with him until we called the police. I wasn't hearing it, though. I knew what needed to be done, and unfortunately, the police couldn't make that happen. It's not that I didn't appreciate his concern. Especially after what we've endured already. I did, more than anything. His love for me is beyond evident, and I feel it within the deepest part of my being. But this is bigger than his concern for me. This is bigger than us. This is about bringing justice to the people who deserve it. This is me, seeking atonement for the one I love. This is me. Bringing down the house high up on the hill by burning it with the flames it's ignited around me. I quickly called the police from the old payphone right around the corner, letting them know about the man lying unconscious outside of the bar. I didn't say anything else before hanging up. I didn't have time to explain the details at that moment. I needed to put this plan in motion. When I pull up, Patrick's car is in the driveway, so I know he's here. Probably sleeping like the fucking baby he is. I knew this wasn't a coincidence. The man at the bar, the threats, the scare tactics. It's asinine to even assume so, This family, these people, will go to any lengths to keep their secrets hidden, especially in the midst of those secrets pending exposure. And yet, no amount of money or fear can keep the truth from surfacing in my presence. The ground beneath me is firm, my feet planted like oak, ready to withstand this storm. As soon as I open the car door, I make another call to the police from my number before placing the phone in my pocket. Patrick exits the house at the same time I approach the stairs, making me suck in a breath in surprise. Was he waiting for me? Or was he waiting for the guy I just encountered? The thought literally gives me a deep shudder in my shoulders. The sight of him that once brought me a sense of ease now does nothing but bring me a distaste for everything he represents.